Hi, friends. It's Randy
and Jess,
and we're going to cut the bullshit.
And let's get into women's mental health.
Welcome to the Women's Mental Health Podcast. We're Randy and Jess, two licensed therapists, and we talk about mental health challenges, strategies, and coping with all of life's bullshit.
And how it's all normal, and you are so not alone in this.
Today, we are going to talk about how to navigate boundaries with children.
And we're talking young children, old children, children of all ages.
Yeah, young adults, your right. Adult children, your babies.
Yeah, we really want you to prioritize like self-care and support. And honestly, this was a special request from a listener. So here you go. And for more information and resources, find us on womensmentalhealthpodcast.com.
Have you ever had these thoughts?
What are boundaries and why are they important to establish with children?
How do I set boundaries that are age appropriate for my child?
How do I communicate boundaries effectively to my child?
What are some common boundary setting mistakes that parents generally make?
That's a good one because, man, yeah. How can I make sure my child understands why boundaries are important?
What do I do if my child continually breaks the boundaries I've set?
You can't kick him to the curb. You can't. I know sometimes you want to strangle him, but you can't.
Sometimes I say like, yeah.
How can I balance setting boundaries while also letting my child explore and learn from their mistakes?
This is so hard because it's like, I want my kids to have autonomy and be able to make decisions. But then I'm like, why did I let you think for yourself? Because this is really kicking me in the ass right now.
Right? I really want to put bubble wrap around you, but I also want you to fly. So how can I do both?
Right. What should I do if my child struggles with emotional regulation? And this is so important because I have two ADHD kids.
We're laughing because this has been her life for the last 2 weeks.
And I also have a hard time with emotional regulation, also being ADHD. So then that leads into how can I model healthy boundary setting behaviors for my child when I have none? I'm just kidding.
No, she's not. No. What resources are available for parents who need help navigating boundaries with their children? Obviously, boundaries is going to be a huge theme here, guys, right?
We always say boundaries, boundaries, boundaries.
Oh, what was that one that somebody sent me, bitch? I gotta look it up. I'm gonna have to look it up. Hold on. Now that I just yelled out, bitch.
Okay, I was like, you're gonna have to cut that out. So setting boundaries with children really involves establishing limits and guidelines that will protect both the child and the parent or caregiver's emotional well-being. So when you are thinking about boundaries, you need to think about how this impacts not only yourself, but your child. This is not like a typical, like when we talk about boundaries in relationships or friendships, where you are just concerned about yourself. You as the adult in this situation or parent or caregiver has to think about the impact that this boundary not only has on yourself and your relationship with your child, but the child and their relationship with themselves and how it could impact that. So from toddlers to teenagers, children of all ages, even adult children, children in college can struggle with their emotions, behaviors, and problems in understanding boundaries.
The reason we're saying boundaries so much is also as moms, sometimes we take on their stuff. They're acting out and then it affects us. And so we also have to learn how to put on boundaries when they're having a bad day that isn't our bad day. And we have to decide if it's ours to fix, if it's ours to help,
if we should carry it or if we should let it go, if we need to help them process it or if we need to let them work it out on their own. There's so many details to boundaries when you are dealing with
your own children. And because they're in your house and your kids, we're not talking about boundaries like the parents who are like, my kid still sleeps in bed. You know what? You need to get sleep any way you can sometimes, and that's fine. But we're talking about not taking on some of their problems, not taking on some of the things that they're throwing out there and teaching them how to have better boundaries with other people so they stop taking it on.
Exactly. And when you are not setting boundaries or you're having a hard time maintaining boundaries, especially with your children, it can lead to more stress, more anxiety, feeling overwhelmed, feelings of depression, or your anxiety acting up. I know when I let my kids walk all over my boundaries, I get super overwhelmed and can shut down because I'm also then not taking care of myself and I'm not respecting myself and what I need. It's really a challenge to, like Jess was saying, detach from our children's emotions and issues that they have going on while still being supportive and nurturing.
Okay, so I'm going to jump back again since I yelled bitch out earlier. Bitch, boundaries I thoughtfully and confidently hold.
Okay, so she's saying it's an acronym. Bitch is an acronym for boundaries I, what is it again? Thoughtfully
and confidently hold.
Okay.
Which is great because everyone loves, one of her favorite things that we've ever said was when Randy yelled out, boundaries, bitch.
Yeah.
And that one, I think she has it like on replay somewhere that she can hear it whenever something is going on.
It's a good little sound clip. It's important to understand that we cannot control our children's emotions or actions, but we can control our own reactions and responses.
Ooh, that one's a really hard one for people to understand. And that's, I see this a lot when I see moms taking on their child's frenemy because
like, I'm going to kick their ass. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
You're like,
I mean, we've all kind of been upset for our kids for something, but what point?
At what point do you empathize and you say, I'm sorry that's happening. What can you do? Versus, you know what? Let's go egg her house. That bitch needs to go.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I see that a lot, though, especially with moms and daughters.
And there is a lot of boundaries, too, that cross with mother and son relationships, too. I have seen a lot of people struggle with treating their children also differently because of their sexes.
Or,
I'm a boy mom and I love boy things, or I'm a girl mom and I love girl things, and not creating like this back and forth or this is better than this atmosphere because they don't have boundaries with themselves about it.
Also, we did a podcast about why parents favor one child versus another.
Sibling favoritism.
Yeah, go find that one because that's a really good one. That happens a lot too because parents aren't putting in boundaries.
Right. And a lot of the time it happens unconsciously that you don't realize you are favoring one child over another. And again, because you are not having boundaries or you're not communicating with yourself about what is happening. So, Jess, let's explain a little bit too. What are boundaries and why are they so important to establish with your children?
Boundaries are the guidelines that define limits for behavior and interaction. That is the therapeutic line for it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, boundaries tell people how you want to be treated. When I put up a boundary, I'm saying, this is how I want to be treated.
How you want to be respected.
How I want to be respected, what my expectations are. They're very clear. Imagine a boundary like a brick wall.
Yeah.
It is a brick wall. I've done the freeway thing before where there's some boundaries that are loose.
Yeah.
Some are very strict. But really, establishing boundaries with children, it's so important because this is going to help them develop appropriate behavior and respect for others, as well as self-discipline. So my friend who lives, I don't know if she listens, across the street from me, she very much works on boundaries with her children. And she'll say, that is disrespectful. You need to go apologize. My husband and I are like, well, it's okay. They didn't have to say anything. And she's like, no. They did because they had to follow through. And that is her boundary.
And that's also her upholding that boundary again and again. I feel a lot of times we don't, we create these boundaries, but then we don't uphold them and we don't live them and we don't show others that's how we want to be treated. And so then we're like, well, WTH, what just happened? And did you actually show that that's how you, or say that's how you wanted? People aren't mind readers.
No.
And that leads into, too, why it's so important for boundaries also to be age appropriate for your child so they can understand them. Like my child who has, you know, autism and ADHD isn't going to, and is going to understand the same, even as a child who's the same age as him, because his brain is developed differently. So I have to think about what is appropriate for him to understand and process when I am trying to implement my own boundaries and help him understand what his boundaries are too.
Because you don't want to be overwhelming, and you don't want them to be frustrating or
you don't
want to
set them up for failure either. Like,
exactly.
You need to be realistic too with, you know, your boundaries. You can't just be like, this is it and this is it, and everybody's going to listen to me. And that's, you have to teach people how to treat you if you haven't before, especially if it's something new that you're trying to implement.
When you take your kids through the grocery store and you're in line at the checkout and there is the candy section there.
Yeah, that's the impulse.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is one time give in. Just one time give in to a candy bar and they will ask you for the rest of their lives.
I'm crying over here because I'm thinking about all the times I've taken my kids to Target.
One
that's
time.
Where I've created monsters, literally. Why are my kids so spoiled? Well, I did it.
You did it to myself. Create the boundaries.
Yeah.
Normally, I'm like, yeah, you want that, we can buy it. And so recently, I've been like, we should probably tighten up our budget a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I've had to say to my daughter, we're going to have to cut back a little bit financially. And she said, well, why? And so what I did is I set a boundary. And I said, well, we're spending more money over here. Mm-hmm. Mom has cut back her days just for some mental health clarity.
Yeah.
I said, so I don't have as much disposable income as I normally would. And so she was like, oh, okay. So she understands that.
But that's you leading back to communicating effectively with your child. She asked you and you gave her the truthful answer. So then she could understand. She's old enough to mm-hmm. understand and have some empathy why you would need to cut back for your own mental health. And so why there is less income coming in. And that created less confusion. If you were just like, it's just because.
Or we just can't afford it. And she's like, but what's changed?
Right. And that leaves room for confusion and a gray area. Instead, you gave her the black and white answer. This mm-hmm. is what is happening because this has happened. And this is what we're going to do moving forward. Clear communication. Everything always comes back to clear communication in any type of relationship, work, coworkers, your mm-hmm. child, your spouse.
Yourself.
Communication. Being clear with yourself, being clear with anybody else, and breaking it down.
We were talking about with ourselves, we have to establish what the boundaries are with us first mm-hmm. before we can tell other people.
Right. You can't be like, do this, and then you're not doing any of it either.
Or they're confused because you've now asked for 7 different things.
Right.
Figure out what your boundaries are. And the way I tell people to do that is whatever sets you off, whatever you're like, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I should have done this better. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, I don't even want to go there. That means you probably should have put a boundary in place.
Yeah.
It's okay to say, oh, I have got to make some changes and adjust. They're hard to do. Figure out what they are with you.
So, and that's a common boundary setting mistake that a lot of parents or caregivers make. So what are some other common mistakes too that most people make when setting boundaries?
I think most people set very rigid and unrealistic boundaries. They fail to communicate like we were just talking about. They don't communicate clearly what their needs are mm-hmm. or what the rules are. That's what boundaries are. They're just basically rules.
Right. Or they say a boundary, but then they don't live the boundary. You can't also just put things out there and then not have action behind it. Because if your actions are showing something else than what you're trying to communicate, body language and things that you do play a huge part of communication. Most of communication can be come down to being nonverbal. Mm-hmm. So your actions really need to match up with what you're also saying to somebody.
And it's also following through and enforcing the boundaries consistently. Mm-hmm. If you let somebody get away with it and the next time you don't, and then the next time they get away with it, they're not going to know what your boundaries are. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be like hit or miss. Like I recently had somebody say that their child was manipulating them. And I was like, wait, your child's a baby. It's not really manipulation. It's getting their needs met. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to figure out how to do that.
Right. They're pushing what we would say boundaries. They're pushing to see where they can get those needs met. And if they don't get any give or any pushback, they're just going to keep trying to go with that.
And that's the same thing as your 7-year-old, your 17-year-old. Mm-hmm. They have a need that they're trying to get met.
Right.
Whether that's a realistic need or that's a need that you guys are allowing, they have a need and they're going to push it.
Exactly. And that also comes back to when we were talking about communicating effectively with your child. In order to do that, making sure that they understand why the boundaries are important. Mm-hmm. Like Jess said, she told her daughter the reasoning behind it.
Right. We're not broke. We're not, nothing's wrong. Right. There's not a crisis, but readjusting some things that we're doing.
Right. But also using words and definitions that your child understands. Not talking over their heads, but talking to them. Yeah. They are a person. They can understand this as long as you communicate it on their level.
So one of the things, too, I tell parents is that we always tell kids things like, you better watch your attitude. You need to change your behavior.
Right.
That isn't enough. Break it down for the kids.
How can they change their attitude? How do you want their behavior to look? How do you want it to feel for you, for them? There are so many facets.
It could be simply, stop rolling your eyes at me. Do you realize you're rolling your eyes at me?
Right.
No, I didn't know that. Okay, I'm going to point that out. Yeah,
or it hurts my feelings when you talk to me in this way. How can you talk to me in a different way? Or maybe if you even give an example, like if you said this to me a certain way, that would make mom or dad feel better.
That's our do-overs. Yeah. Would you like to do that again? Do you want me to respond the way you just did it, or do you want to do it over? Because now I'm giving an opportunity because she can figure out that I don't like the way she's responding to me.
Now, there's a difference, too, between being totally stifling and not letting your child learn from their mistakes mm-hmm. and being controlling versus healthy boundaries. So what is the difference between letting your child explore and learn and make mistakes versus them breaking boundaries and not listening at all?
There's a part of me that says kids should be able to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how I learn. I constantly fail forward.
I 100%. That's my thing. That there's no really mistakes. There's only learning.
To me, there's no failure.
Yeah.
My thing is if I set a hard boundary that says you may not smoke in the house, yeah. right? Whatever. If that's the boundary, I have been very clear about it. If that happens, then there are consequences.
Right.
I didn't say you can never smoke. I didn't say that I'm in control. Mm-hmm. But part of this is they have to learn some of that and then talking it through with them.
Right.
Not just the one and done, you know.
Yeah, just because I said so is not a very healthy answer. Like, this is why I feel this way. This is why I feel it's important. This is why I want you to respect this. And if they do push back, okay, why did you do this? This is why I feel this way. How are we going to move forward with this?
Honestly, if it's something that you see that they're going to learn from, okay, great. If it's going to be harmful to them, mm-hmm. that's where you have to jump in and be like, okay, this could be very harmful.
Right.
We want to set you up for success and talk it through with them. We all want our kids to be happy and successful.
And that comes down to, too, when you're helping them, if they have a hard time with emotional regulation and making snap decisions or impulsive decisions that could create their emotions to be really high or make them make bad decisions.
They need tools.
Right. And so are you giving them those tools or are they just flailing in the wind? So you really need to have a conversation with yourself too. Are you meeting their needs so they can handle these situations? So then it's not coming back on you too and creating more stress. And what are some tools that we can give our kids, especially if they have a hard time regulating their emotions?
You guys know me and my bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them to blow bubbles when they're little.
Deep breathing.
Yes. When you're talking with them, do it in a calm voice, in a calm way. The other night, we had an incident in our neighborhood where there was a woman with dementia. She had gotten into... I know, I'm going to sidetrack for a second, but there's a reason.
I'm not laughing because of this. I'm just laughing because Jess was like, I didn't tell you about this. And I was like, what are you talking about? We were talking about two completely different things. And when she started telling me about this story. Anyways.
No, that was fine. That's fine. So what it is that when you have dementia, you have to be calm, right? Because they're already agitated mm-hmm. when they're in a certain state. And you have to talk to them calm and kind and loving, not irritated and angry, because they're going to react to that. And so we had this older woman who had gotten into our friend's house. The friends were gone. The daughter was home. So I went over to help.
Yeah, because she was scared.
She was scared. Somebody's in her house, had her phone, was using it and calling people, was calling 911, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. It was like, what is going on? And so the daughter was there, the daughter of this woman, and she was just frustrated and angry and, Mom, you can't go into people's houses, and kind of yelling at her. Mm. And I could see it escalating. And so I just said, hey, you know what? Why don't you talk to me for a minute? Let's go get you back in the car. I know the cops are on the way to your house. They'll be there. And then the daughter just said, okay. She took a step. She went in the car and sat there. I could see her breathing.
Well, I'm sure she was embarrassed. She was triggered. She was probably scared. So all these things are coming to the surface. And then she's mm-hmm. agitated.
The mom is getting agitated.
With dementia is agitated. She was probably like so many things happening.
But within 2 minutes, I was able to say, okay, I got her walking to the car and talking to her very calmly, like a person. She's a person. Got her in the car, seatbelted, door shut. Everything was nice and calm. If we can respond like that to our children when they're having mm-hmm. dysregulation versus
whether it's an 18-year-old child or a 5-year-old child, your attitude really affects everything.
Exactly. And I know that the woman with dementia, she is going to respond that way because of, you know, my trainings I've done. Mm-hmm. Kids are going to respond that way too.
Yeah.
And so part of this is that you have got to be in control of yourself so you can help them with tools. And it could be things like blowing dandelion wishes. It could be things like blowing bubbles, showing them how to breathe, getting some of those little timeout toys, the oil and water and fun things.
We use Moshi, which is an app with mindfulness and stories and nighttime things, and has a lot of calming strategies. And we've used that for years. And it's something that we rely on. I use a lot of things too in my household and with my kids too, with slumber kids. They're these animals that tell you stories of how to set boundaries or how to love yourself. They give you a starting point to talk with your kids if you are feeling lost mm-hmm. with how do I communicate? How do I do this? How do I give my kid these tools? Well, start there.
Yeah, that's cute. I didn't know those existed.
Yeah.
So then how are you going to model these behaviors? How do you model healthy boundary setting behaviors?
Well, like you said, you have to set them with yourself. You have to understand what you need, what you can give, what your kids need, and what they can give. Have those conversations with yourself, whether they're hard or they're not, and then model that behavior. When you act that way, when you model that behavior, when you follow through, when your words match your actions, then your kids have a clear understanding of how they should act and how they should communicate back with you.
And if you need a timeout, it is okay to say, I'm going to go take a timeout in my room. Mm-hmm. I will be back in 20 minutes, just 20 minutes. And go in the other room and breathe or do some squats or something. I don't know, whatever it is you need to do. And if you're ready in 20 minutes, go back, readdress the issue. If you're not ready in 20 minutes, you still need to go back and say, I need 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go take a shower and pull out some other tool that you have and then come back in 10 minutes and let's talk about what's going on. You are setting the example for your children on what to do when you lose your shit, because when they're exactly. emotionally dysregulated, they're losing their shit. And they don't have these tools, and we can't expect them to have the behavior that we expect from other adults because they're not adults.
Right. Okay? And they aren't adults for a long time. And this is
until they're like 35.
Right. Your brain is not fully developed to understand all the nuances of communication and emotions, especially when a lot of us have never learned this ourselves mm-hmm. and we are trying to break generational habits
and trauma.
Yeah, and trauma and create new ways to deal with this. So we're all learning together and that can be a major clusterfuck.
Well, and you named it right there is that not the clusterfuck part, but you named it right there that kids' that brains are not developed until about 24 or 25. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, your 21-year-old thinks they're an adult, but they're still not fully developed. They still need you to help them and to not take on their emotions and to not own it or make them feel guilty about it. Guess what? We make bad choices sometimes and we need help out of it. And so it's also giving them the grace and showing them that, yes, this is my boundary. I'm not giving in on this boundary, but I can give you grace and we can continue to try. Mm-hmm. What resources are available, Randy, for parents who need help navigating these boundaries? And you named some earlier.
There's always parenting classes. There's lots of usually like free parenting classes out there, either through your school district or local churches or community centers. There's reaching out to a therapist so you can work with them on how to develop these skills, talking to friends. There's a book that's been out forever. I remember when I was probably in high school, my mom had it and she gave it to me and I was like, what am I? Little did I know that was probably setting me up to be a therapist later in life, but it's Boundaries, When to Say Yes, When to Say No by Dr. Henry Cloud. And he has written probably 20 different books on boundaries. Boundaries in work, boundaries in dating, boundaries in relationships. And he's also written a book about safe people, finding people too that are safe for you to have those boundaries with. So really educating yourself on how to set boundaries. And sometimes, yeah, that is like doing like a worksheet or a workbook or reading a book so that you can understand something more in depth so that you have control over your mental health and the outcome.
Also, it is okay to say no to your child.
Oh, yes.
100%. And it is okay for your
child.
Mom
guilt is real, but you know, yeah, forget it.
It's okay if your child is angry with you. Mm-hmm. Your child is going to be angry with you occasionally because they're not getting what they want or you're not doing what they want. And so, yeah, they're going to be angry with you. If they're not angry with you at least once, maybe you're being their friend and not their parent. Right. And so you have to work on that. The other one I like is Love and Logic. Did you ever learn Love and Logic?
Yeah.
Love and Logic is so good because that starts teaching logical consequences and setting boundaries with your children. The other one, I can't think of what the name is. I recommend it all the time. It has slipped my brain. But there's another book.
We'll list them on the website so you guys can look them out.
But yeah, there's a couple of really good ones. The series I'm thinking has with preschoolers and school-age kids and then teenagers is their boundaries with driving the car, setting up very clear and concise rules about what needs to happen and what is going to happen if the boundaries are broken.
And setting boundaries, I feel, is a form of self-care. And saying no, like we've said before, is a form of self-care and a complete sentence. Sometimes our kids don't understand that, but maybe we need to pause, like Jess said, and take a moment and lock ourselves in the bathroom and then come back and say, okay, this is the reason I'm saying no. And like we said, if they don't have the emotional capability or regulation to hear you right then, it's coming back to them when everybody's calm and discussing it at a different point in time. All these things help us practice how to be a better parent and how to set those boundaries and follow through with them.
Setting boundaries with our children is not about being distant or neglectful. It really isn't. It is really fostering healthy relationships and it's promoting emotional well-being for all of us in the house.
Right. We want them to be able to have healthy relationships with other people. And if we don't model that for them now, whether it's at 5 or 25, they're never going to know how to do that. And it's going to create this cycle of unhealthy relationships, whether that's in love or work, that creates toxic boundaries and toxic relationships. And you don't want that. Mm-mm. For your child or a child that you take care of. You don't want that for them. You don't want that for yourself. So you have to be the parent and the caregiver and step up and start setting those boundaries and modeling them.
Exactly. Exactly. So we hope this episode has really shown and provided some information on how to set boundaries with your kids and why it's so important, regardless of the age. If you guys out there, guys, gals, women, all of you, ever want to hear about a topic, please let us know. This came from one of our listeners who really wanted to dive into boundary setting with children. And so if there's something out there you want to know, please send us an email.
Reach out to us.
Yeah, womensmentalhealthpodcast.com. Let us know. And we're happy to see what it is you guys like to hear.
And remember, you are a capable and resilient human being. You are a capable and resilient parent. You are a capable and resilient caregiver.
1, 2, 3, 4. Thanks for listening and normalizing mental health with us.
Don't forget to check out our free resources and favorites on our website, unapologeticallyrandyandjess.com.
Like and share this episode and tune in next week.